Blog Talk Radio.
Wellness.
Let us run some people for old guys.
From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, yeah.
Radio, I welcome you and honor you for being here on this very special night of September 17, 2023. Adds up to a 6. So we are in store for some great revelation of human, earthly wisdom, power, all of that. Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are talking about tonight, and let me get my banner going here. We got a banner going tonight. We're talking about overcoming the demons on the path to spiritual maturity. So many things happened this week to bring me to this title, to this awareness, to this consciousness, to share with you. and for you to share with me, because this is a topic that I welcome your own experience with the demons, the devils in your life. And we're going to hear from lots of people tonight on what does a demon really amount to? What does that mean? You know, we used to hear back in the day, the devil made me do it. How many of you remember the comedians or the movies or the people in your life that expressed the thought that the devil made me do it, right? So when I thought about that, I realized that is a great example of blame and shame on the devil. It's the devil's fault. I didn't do anything wrong. It was the devil's fault. So we went through that as immature spiritual beings. I would say blaming the devil for our choices that didn't turn out so great or that made people angry or triggered people or whatever. The devil made me do it. When the outcome was not favorable to you or positive to you or optimistic, the devil made me do it. So that's kind of a hint or the beginning of maybe a narcissistic personality, because narcissistic personalities tend to blame everything on anybody and everybody and not take personal responsibility. So tonight, we want to start first and foremost with a definition. What is a demon? And I have got two Christian perspectives. We want to bring in the biblical, always for me, for those of you who don't know me, I was born in a church. Literally, my grandfather was the pastor of the Church of God in Christ. So I spent many summer, and even since I was a baby, in that church where my grandfather preached Holy Ghost preaching, and my mother called him a sanctified preacher of the Church of God in Christ. So I heard those messages of Jesus and the Bible for many, many years as a child. And then I went to all the denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, you name it. I've been in the church, Seventh-day Adventist. I explored all of them. And then my family and I lastly were going to a Christian church, a denominational Christian church. Then I got out of the denomination. So at 68 years old, I've developed kind of my own opinion about religion, spirituality, and all that. So tonight, we're going to go on a journey to spiritual maturity. That means no disease, no suffering, and no pain. You can do that. It's spiritual maturity brings you to a level of no blame, no shame, but personal responsibility that brings blessings galore. The scripture says discipline is life, and the creator in the scriptures, it says, I set before you life and death. Choose life so that you and your seed can live. So we're learning to choose life, and choosing life, we don't blame other people for anything. We take personal responsibility. That's really tough for some because it's spiritual maturity. Not everybody's there. But on the way, we meet lots of demons, right? Demons, devils, you name it, whatever you want to call it. So let's start off tonight with a definition. And I've got three important viewpoints on this. What is a demon? What is a demon? And do demons exist? And what are demons? The first two are very Christian perspective. They're very short. And I'm going to go from there to a longer description on a spiritual note, what demons are. So this one, I believe, is from The Exorcist. This guy says he performs exorcisms. You remember the movie, right? It brings up all kinds of visions of these people vomiting out and their heads turning, right, because the demon's coming out, right? And somebody may have had that experience, so it could be real. But this is the definition that The Exorcist, let's see, I think this is The Exorcist, gives us. What is a demon?
Hey, Chris here from the Chris Stefanik Show, where we talk about how to live out God's plan for you each and every day in your everyday life in a way that makes you more alive and more joyful. Check it out. Before we dive into the topic at hand, what is a demon?
Technically speaking, a demon is a fallen angel. So when the angels were first created, we might have talked about this on one of the prior interviews, but they had what the saints called the first three instances. So the first instance is that they were angels created in a state of innocence and goodness, instantaneously in a full act of comprehension and knowing of who they are, who God was, etc.
So they could see everything. Whereas
it takes us years through life.
And learn and grow or fall, yeah. And they saw it all with clarity.
Instantaneously, yeah. And then the second instance is they made their choice. Are you going to follow what God is asking you to do or not? And then the third instance is the reward. So either they were given the beatific vision or they were immediately damned. And so, and even in session, the demons will talk about these three instances. One of the things I find interesting is that in that first instance, every single demon that if you do any protracted period of time and you're trying to force him to tell you a certain kind of information, you can force him to think about the delight he had in that first instance in seeing how beautiful God's plan was. And yet he still chose against it, which is one of the reasons why they suffer so much, because they've given this thing up. So, and they try to keep their mind off it, but if you force them to think about it, there's not a demon that won't cry over the whole thing, right? So they'll literally start crying. But so the demon is basically someone, he was an angel who was created good, who chose to refuse God's task, the task that God was asking him. And there's other things that go along with that, that particular sin that they had, but they ultimately just refused to accept God's assigned task. Now, what's interesting, though, is that their assigned task, who a demon is, his personal identity, his very nature, his essence, is his assigned task.
Wow.
So when he refused his assigned task, it was a perfect act of self-hatred. So they hate themselves too, which is why when I hear people saying they hate themselves, I'm like, don't do that. That's what demons do.
Oh, it's hard to come back with another question here. But that's like, I just want to chew on that for a while. There's so much for the spiritual life in that.
There is,
Because there's so much that mirrors my own temptations or falls that's like, it's exactly what you see in them. Like they don't just want to think things they think, but as they think.
Right.
And people think, you know, telling people to love themselves, that's just pop psychology. No, that's a part of Christian life. Demons want you to hate yourself, to loathe yourself.
That's right, yeah.
Man, wasn't that great? Listen, if you don't want to be happy.
Okay, so that was a description or definition of demons from a man who actually, or he's like a priest of some kind, who does exorcists, and I thought it was interesting that the key points he pointed out were, number one, fallen angels refuse to accept the creator's task, and self-hatred. That's really interesting. That's what he describes as, quote, demons or demonic activity. Interesting. Now, listen to this next summary by another Christian or Bible-believing person, and it's almost the opposite. We're going to hear what are demon spirits is what he's going to tell us.
According to Jesus, demons are disembodied spirits, which means that demons are not and cannot be fallen angels.
What?
Which means that demons are not and cannot be fallen angels. Why? In other words, how do I know that? I know that because angels are not disembodied spirits. Angels have a celestial body, and they can also manifest themselves at times in a terrestrial body. In other words, a physical body. And I proved that to you several weeks ago when we talked about fallen angels having sex with human women. Even God has told us in the book of Hebrews that we ought to entertain strangers, because many of you had entertained strangers and they were actually angels and you were unaware of that. Yeah. So, if demons are disembodied spirits, they can't be fallen angels because angels have bodies. Now, let me take this a step further because...
Okay, now you got two Christians, two Bible-believing men who are giving us two different definitions of demons or devils, right? One says they're fallen angels, that they refuse to accept the Creator's task. The other, and he says that that involves self-hatred. If you hate yourself, you probably got a demon working in your life, right? The other one says they can't be fallen angels because angels have celestial physical bodies and they are disembodied spirits. So they're spirits outside of a fallen angel. I'm confused. All right, so probably a lot of people are confused about demons these days, right? We've all been very confused about what is the demon. And yet we've heard people say the devil made me do it. Why? Because the church, Christianity, religion has taught certain messages about demons. And we're going somewhere with this tonight, brothers and sisters, because on a spiritual path of maturity, we have to go inward. We have to go inward to understand what demons really are. And so I have this beautiful teaching by a woman by the name of Teal Swan. Teal Swan is very spiritual. Some might call her a little new agey, but after those two confusing Christian point of views, we should all be welcome to hear some spiritual interpretation of what demons are. So I'm going to bring on Teal Swan, both on YouTube channel and in, let's see, YouTube channel and in our Blog Talk studio. So I'm going to be playing Teal Swan, very popular woman, spiritual messenger, blah, she's amazing. And we're going to hear from her about do demons exist, and she's going to really break it down. She speaks of Baal or Baal. She doesn't pronounce it the way many Christians do, but she's later in the video, she's talking about Baal, which is very exact, in my opinion, from my understanding and actual training of Baal and what that means. So let's hear, we've heard from two Christian Bible-believing perspectives. Are they fallen angels? Are they disembodied spirits? There's some disagreement there, so we could have a debate on the clerical view, whatever. But let's listen to Teal Swan, see if you get some insight on this as we move forward to go inward to really understand what demons are about, what that spirit is about, energy is about. So here's Teal Swan.
Demons have been prominent figures in religions and spiritual circles and cultures the world over for thousands of years. To generalize, people conceptualize of them as malevolent beings. And in contrast to angels or spirit guides, they're thought to negatively influence a person's thoughts and actions, as well as to bring about negative things. Straight out the gate, yes, demons exist, but they're one of the most poorly understood things in this universe. And the story of what and who they are challenges the standard narrative that's told about them. First, let's define what a demon is. A demon is a being that perceives itself to be disconnected from and separate to the greater universe and all other beings in that universe. As such, it could be said that a demon exists at the opposite side of the spectrum from love, in the vibrational range of isolation, fear, and powerlessness. The state of disconnection and the perception of separation from the greater universe, what many people call God or Source, causes a couple of key things to happen. First, because it is so profoundly out of alignment with the greater universe, it causes the being to be unable to take in its energy directly from the current of universal energy. This makes it so a demon's existence is dependent on taking energy from other things. Second, it causes this being to behave narcissistically, shall we say. Being disconnected from something, you do not personally perceive a negative impact as a result of playing a zero-sum game with that thing. And so, you could say that demons are the masters of the zero-sum game. Some demons are far older than humanity. A great many other demons arise from humanity and are very much attached to humanity and collective human consciousness. And demons definitely have varying degrees of energy and power. A demon comes to exist when a being within a system perceives itself to be powerless relative to what it needs and what it wants, and when it perceives the other elements of that system that it is a part of to be against its needs and wants and therefore its best interests. And so, instead of loved, it feels harmed. Instead of unified, it feels disconnected, and it decides to separate itself further by pushing away and becoming oppositional to what it perceives to be its adversary. Only this time, that adversary is the system of the universe at large and the other beings within that system. From there, unencumbered by the rule of not harming others, it begins to get its needs met in whatever way is most effective. And that way is usually harmful in some way to something. You could come to understand demons through the very simple act of understanding narcissism and codependency within the human race, in fact. If you want to learn more about this, you can watch my videos titled Narcissism and also The Truth About Narcissism and Codependency. So that you can grasp this concept of demons, I will tell you the origin story of a well-known and very specific demon that originated from humanity. The demon is Baal. Around the time that people started to settle land in early agricultural societies, the ruling classes began to see land ownership as a way to hold on to and increase their power and wealth. So many men wanted to own land, but so many men felt powerless to do so. Ownership was their ultimate desire, but they felt prevented from it by other men. So many men formed and shared thoughts, ideas, and concepts about their desired identities and outcomes regarding land ownership, and later the ownership of desired things in general. This focus began to force a materialization of their sustained idea. Those thoughts took on a life of their own. They had created a thought form, a demon. Originally, this demon's name was Saru, a manifestation of the human ego's relationship to ownership. Then an ancient king overthrew an ancient Sumerian emperor, and when this emperor died, his thought form was supercharged with unfinished business in the form of retaining the kingdom, which he believed was rightfully his. Again, unfinished business within the theme of ownership. His desire to reclaim his kingdom made him a perfect match to the demon Saru. Saru and this emperor entered into a contract, whereby Saru would assimilate the thought form of this emperor, becoming even more powerful and materialized in exchange for his participation in the reclaiming of the kingdom. It was soon after this assimilation that his name changed to Baal. Baal's superpower is ownership, and his desire for ownership is never quelled. This thought form was imbued with that perception that emanated from the collective consciousness from which it was born, including things like individual power of personal accumulation, slavery, the ability to control the weather so as to have the power to produce the most fruitful crops, supreme fertility, the power to overthrow other powerful men and take what was theirs, adversarial relationship as a method to build wealth and increase one's own property and power, etc., etc. Baal began to form contracts with living people, granting them power to increase their ownership. And what he got in return was to rule through their rulership, to own through their ownership, as well as the right to feed energetically off of any and all resources that belong to them. Baal was behind the building of Sargon of Akkad's empire and so many empires and dynasties after him. He was also behind the breaking of so many empires when men wished to form their own independent kingdoms. In fact, he was behind the breaking up of many an empire that he himself helped to originally build. Baal is a strong enough thought form that he is often behind the building of empires, but I have seen Baal form contracts, even with children looking to rule over their schoolyards, and members of HOAs looking to control what can and can't happen in their neighborhood, and businessmen who are serious about acquiring other businesses. So just one example of a contract with Baal might be as follows. Imagine that someone feels powerless to owning their own home, and then one of their relatives who owns a home is about to die. Baal may attach to this person's energy field and influence this person with the ability to garner the favor of others. Remember that this thought form has only gained more and more power to garner favor from every person who has interacted with him, many of whom possess this ability as a kind of innate superpower in their life. And with this contract, this person is now much more effective at using the power of gaining favor to persuade the dying relative to leave their house to them rather than to other members of the family. What makes people a match to Baal is their willingness to play a zero-sum game to increase their ownership. And there are a great many ways that a person could increase their sense of ownership that are manipulative and that cause harm. What is important to understand is though human suffering in and of itself can be a motivation for a demon, specifically because human suffering might be a roundabout way of fulfilling a specific need they have, a demon is not looking to cause harm, in fact. They are perfectly fine to get a need met with no harm caused. But they get their reputation from their willingness to cause harm in order to get a need met. It's also important to understand that only some demons are traditionally scary. What I mean by this is one demon, the one that we would call traditionally scary, might be a manifestation of horror. That demon might be the thought form of a person who was horribly abused in a human life and whom identified power with their abuser and with what their abuser was doing to them. This demon might attach itself to the human biofield of a person who is also in an abusive dynamic, so as to imbue them with a capacity to use horror to intimidate and frighten other people away, thus ensuring their safety, something they feel powerless to get in a direct way. And in exchange, that demon can experience improvements to its own trauma through a kind of externalized power over the abuser dynamic. But let's look at another demon. Another demon might be a thought form that is the materialization of the desire for support built up in a family line across several generations of women. This demon may be something that lends energy to a mother in this family line. To employ strategies like victim control dramas or guilt, to keep her daughter powerlessly enmeshed and force her to stay in the role of caretaker, no matter the consequences to the daughter's mental and emotional health. And this demon will not be experienced as scary. Rather, it will be experienced as toil and as being held back. I find it amusing when people worry about demons and demonic influence. Firstly, because people are crawling with demons in the same way that they are crawling with spirit guides. Most people on earth have at least one, if not many, demonic contracts. What I mean by a demonic contract is that most people have a specific need that they are getting met through the assistance of a demon. This is usually a subconscious transaction that is taking place. And a transaction that, though it is serving them in some way, is also causing them and or others harm. And second, people don't need to worry about possession or demonic influence any more than they need to worry about feeling powerless to getting their needs met directly, and any more than they need to worry about their own willingness to play zero-sum games. Because it is these things that make them a match to demons, to demonic influence, and to demonic contracts. If you don't want to be a match to demonic influence or demonic contracts, it is very simple. Don't act like a demon, and use your free will and your power of choice. When people worry about demons, they seem to think that it is possible to be influenced or possessed by one regardless of what you're thinking and doing, and the reality is, it isn't. Demons do not have the power of assertion. People are perfectly capable of playing zero-sum games regardless of the presence of demons or lack thereof. What I'm saying is, whatever it is, the demon didn't make you do it. Demons can't take away free will, and the demon is simply an amplification of a dynamic that is already occurring within you. You don't need to worry about exorcism or banishing a demon. Take your attention off of it. All you need to worry about is changing that dynamic within yourself that is making you a match to that demonic contract in the first place. Of course, it's very hard for people to admit that they're getting something out of demons. For example, the person in our previous example who had a demonic attachment that creates horror does not need to focus on getting rid of their demon. What they need to focus on is resolving their own feelings of powerlessness to the cruelty of others, and this includes coming up with direct strategies for creating safety. If they're able to meet their need for safety in another way, there is no opening for the demonic attachment to occur. When the preconditions for this contract remain, that hook is stronger, believe me, than any banishment or exorcism technique. Besides, if that precondition still exists, even if you are able to somehow get rid of a demon, another one will immediately take its place. And I'm going to give you a tip. Your greatest vulnerability to demons is your most desperate needs and desires. The lesson of demonic entities is to step out of the patterns of determinism that you're stuck in. There's no source of evil. We are the ones that are keeping them manifested and active. Black and white thinking leads you straight to ignorance when it comes to demons. People love to think of demons as bad and evil and wrong and malevolent. But this is such primitive thinking. Demons are not the malevolent spirits that you have been taught that they are. The reason behind what they are doing, however harmful, is always well-intentioned, in fact. Every demon has what we would judge as positive attributes also. In fact, you would be lucky to have them and their medicine in your life. They have immense value. But remember, anything of value may be used for the benefit of self and others or to the detriment of self and others. And to generalize, the value inherent in each demon is being used as some kind of detriment to something. But believe it or not, this can change. It might be interesting for you to know that many demons are assimilating at this time. Many are awakening and are reconnecting to the rest of the universe so as to take their place of alignment and symbiosis within the universal system and directly with certain people. They do not genuinely want to be separate from the universe and the beings and things that make up this universe. Did you hear that? Even certain demons are done with the zero-sum game and done with the pain that they are in being separate. In fact, some of them are appalled by human behavior. And as for those demons who are not choosing to assimilate or who don't even know it is an option, they are not the enemies of Source or what you call God. They are not the enemies of expansion. Demons cause an amplification. Some people need things to manifest or to become clearer or to get worse in order for them to awaken or to make a different choice. For example, let's imagine that a man has a demonic attachment that's enabling him to control other people better. As that control amplifies and amplifies, he will experience the contrast inherent in that control. Not only will the positive elements of that control amplify, but so will the negative elements. So perhaps one day a negative amplification is that his wife and his kids leave him. He's now totally alone. That experience might just be the thing that causes him to decide the connection is more important to him than control, and this might lead him to learning about and mastering relationships. And this might change his entire life for the better. To learn more about this, you can watch my video titled The Lesson of Christ and Lucifer, Integrate Your Ego. The most powerful thing you can do with regards to demons is to stop demonizing the demon. Stop giving away your power by blaming things on them. Instead, own them as you. Integrate them as your own shadow. That's exactly what they are. Anything else is scapegoating. And don't forget, there is always gold in the shadow. Instead of blaming the thoughts you have as thoughts being created by them, own them as your thoughts. Instead of blaming your urges on them, own them as your urges. Don't blame your actions on them. Those are your actions. Don't point at them as the reason that you could do what you did to someone. Own your own willingness to harm someone, including yourself, for the sake of getting what you want. Demons are the amplification of people's disconnection and therefore narcissism. You don't need to do anything about demons. You need to do something about your own disconnection and your own patterns of narcissism. Contracts with demons originate from the perception of powerlessness. To not be a match to a demonic contract, you need to meet your needs in a straightforward and a symbiotic way. Have a good week. If you liked this video, be sure to hit the like button, subscribe to my channel, and consider sharing this video with your friends.
Woo, woo, woo. That was a lot, I'm sure. So you have heard three beliefs or perspectives about demons, and I would love to hear which one of those do you resonate with, or do you not resonate with them? And you have your own ideas about what demons are. But what our focus tonight is coming out of the devil made me do it mentality. Not spiritually mature at all. That's a very immature mental thought. The devil did not make you eat that chocolate cake. The devil did not make you cheat on your wife. No, as Teal spoke, we can accept or not the reality that it's a shadow of yourself. And it's also actually scapegoating, or you can believe that it's just a fallen angel that's fallen into your life and you don't have any choice about the matter because they're in your life and you're just in a whole demonic environment. Or You can believe that the disembodied spirits are just everywhere. We don't have any choices, and we're powerless to control these disembodied spirits. Or we can move more into a spiritual truth that this contract she talks about is a subconscious contract, meaning what? Our childhood creates attitudes, beliefs, thoughts, realities that we carry on all our life until we come into a closer relationship with the Most High, with Creator, with Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, until we get an awakening of more like what I believe that Teal is talking about, Teal Swan is talking about, this contract we have that helps us understand our own shadows, our own darker side, and our own subconscious healing that's needed. So I don't see Naima Latif giving me a sign for commercial. So I'm going to go to a caller. We have a caller, 336-350. And this is like Mama AZ. What's your belief about demons, sister?
Can you hear me?
Speak up, speak up. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, this is very, very interesting. You never cease to amaze me, Dr. V, with your shows and how you allow spirit to guide you. I agree with Teal. Maybe 5, 6 years I've been following her or been made aware of her, and you really have to listen, family, to understand what she's conveying, you see?
Right.
And one thing that I got out of that, me, myself, personally, Dr. V, is love.
Yeah,
is love will counter all things. I mean, override all things. And I'm going through a situation with the people here where I live, and it's very challenging for me. However, the information that I have been getting for the past week is just overwhelming. It's like, I mean, in a good way, with this show, it caps and it lets me know that I really must work on love. And I ask for this to teach me. Even though it hurts and it's mentally chaotic, that through this I am learning. The only thing that I need to do is take a chill pill and continue to communicate with the Most High and teaching me how to love these dear ones who appear to be demons, but actually they are not. Because we have a contract. We've made an agreement. And family, I'd like for you to go up on that contraption and get Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God. It's a little animated series that he's created, The Soul and the Sun. It's a cartoon, but it's off the chain. And it talks about people in your life who bully you, people in your life who make it really tough. And it may be a challenge to get it around your head, but those people you agreed to come to the planet with to work on this, that, and the other. you see. And the only way you can get back to remembering is to love. And you talk to the Creator. You have a reasoning with the Creator 24/7 and ask to be shown the correct way to deal with this. And I'm having to do that going on 72. And I am grateful that I allowed myself to be strong enough to be here to fight with this issue, because it's teaching me how to love whether I want you or not, family. And that's what you got to do. But you look up Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, man, The Soul and the Little Son, and it talks about bullies. And for some reason, I've drawn this to myself here where I live. And I got to figure out, okay, how do I roll with this in love? It's another show, Dr. V, that we must do about conversations with God. And being choosing the people that you involve yourself with. And I appreciate you being here, Dr. V, because I know we've had many, many lives together, you and I.
Absolutely.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Thank us. I'm gonna mute.
Yeah, and we appreciate you too, Mama Z. Know too many people that are as transparent as you are about your journey, which I'm sure there are lots of people going through what you're going through. So thank you for sharing and being so transparent. That's what we invite all of you to be tonight, transparent, so that we can help other people who are listening, who need the wisdom, the knowledge, the courage that Mama Z displays all the time on this when she calls in. So I want to go into the demonic spirits behind narcissism, because Teal mentioned narcissism, which was kind of a surprise to me. Not really, but it goes into the spirits behind narcissism. So if you have anyone in your life who you can recognize as having narcissistic tendencies, then this may help you get free from it or not. But I want us to understand the works of the demon, the energy of the demon in people who demonstrate control and so many other emotional imbalances, I'll say. If you can recognize these things in the people in your life, you'll know what a demon looks like. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. I've got plenty of experience with having people close to me who have this narcissistic energy, and it helped me to back away from my own narcissistic energy, because we all got a little bit of it. It's a spectrum. And I recognize this. When I recognize this in my own self, I have to start fasting and praying, because I don't want to have it. These demons in my life, in my sacred temple. So I want you to hear what this Christian woman has to say about the demonic spirits in narcissism, because we all have them in our life, but we rarely connect the dots. So let's connect the dots tonight. When we talk about demons, we got to talk about narcissism. So I'm going to bring this in the Blog Talk studio. I've got it playing in the Soul Purpose, or in the video, let's see, narcissism and demon. Here we go.
Why do narcissists mess with your mind so much? It's because your mind is Satan's number one target. If he can get in your head, he can affect and infect every other area of your life. And he starts by using the people closest to you. Well, hey, my friend, welcome back to another edition of the Building Faith Podcast, where it is my hope to bring you biblical solutions to life's tough challenges. So if you are being blessed by our time together, would you do me a favor and hit that subscribe and notification button? I'd greatly appreciate it. Narcissism is a deeply infectious personality problem that can affect and infect every area of your life. But did you know that there are actually demonic spirits that are driving that grandiose self-entitled behavior? You see, a narcissist is someone who has yielded to the demonic spirits that are driving their destructive behavior. And these spirits tempt the narcissist with a false sense of hope, strength, and control. And because the narcissist has such a deep sense of shame that they desperately try to avoid and cover up, they actually become easy targets for wicked spirits to have their way. The demonic goal is to not only destroy the life of those that they infect, but also the lives of those that are connected to the narcissist. And people they couldn't otherwise get to are now easy prey for these demons, as the narcissist now becomes their Trojan horse. Their goal? To make you feel like you're going crazy and to get you consumed in the narcissistic behavior so that you have no time or energy to focus on God and His purpose for your life. Demons will use narcissists, number one, to jam up your receiving signal from God. Number two, to keep you on an exhausting emotional roller coaster. Number three, trap you in a toxic mental spiral. Number four, deceive you into believing that as a Christian, you're somehow responsible for improving this person's behavior in the relationship. So to better arm you, let's talk about eight of the common demonic spirits that operate behind narcissists and how you can overcome. Number one is the spirit of witchcraft. You think witchcraft is limited to voodoo and black magic? You may want to think again. Behind witchcraft is rebellion and manipulation. And narcissists are master manipulators. And remember, the words of 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Many will even refer to this spirit as the Jezebel spirit. Number two, the spirit of envy. Envy is a resentful dissatisfaction over what another person has, and its quiet cousin is covetousness. And scripture is clear, thou shall not covet. But narcissists always feel entitled to have what they don't. And Satan is the prince of envy. Envy actually may be the head demon, but there are several sub-demons that are operating here as well, like murder, revenge, spite, anger, strife, hatred, cruelty, divisions, envy, competition, just to name a few. And number three is the spirit of confusion. There's just something sinister about confusion. It's a weapon that the enemy uses to unleash his attack through mental and emotional distraction and disorientation. It's designed to paralyze you with overwhelm and cause you to question the Word of God and even your own sanity. And this is the realm that narcissists love to play in, as it takes the focus off of their diabolical behavior. Number four is the spirit of condemnation. Since deflection is the name of the game with a narcissist, it is no wonder that the spirit of condemnation is right there to encourage hateful accusations designed to find fault in their victims. Their aim is to create a sense of hopelessness within you through constant criticism and blame shifting. Number five is the spirit of control. Controlling people don't have anyone's best interest in mind except for their own. And they will seek to control the narrative, their image, and you, and will use mental and emotional tricks to get you to do their bidding. Angry, bitter, traumatized people are targets for narcissists, since their emotions can be so easily manipulated. And the spirit of control is also often referred to as a Jezebel spirit. And number six is the spirit of deception, aka a lying spirit. Narcissists are addicted to lying. with their word salads, word shifting, truth avoiding, hollow flattery. The narcissist's only ambition is to exaggerate themselves and diminish you. And these spirits of deception open the door to other evil spirits like religious bondages, superstitions, false prophecy, accusations, gossip, slander, false teachings, and, of course, confusion. The narcissist is the bullhorn for Satan's lies. But Proverbs 12:22 reminds us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And number 7 is the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride operating in a narcissist is boastful and impatient as it strives to get its own way. It is the cornerstone of every narcissistic foundation. Their arrogant, stubborn, self-righteous, grandiose manner in which they carry themselves can be seen in a myriad of ways, ranging from the way they subtly and not so subtly attempt to exalt themselves, their self-seeking style, and of course, we can't ignore that entitlement that just oozes out of their victim mentality. But Jesus was clear in Luke 14:11 when he said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And number 8 is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear weighs heavy on a narcissist. Behind their false bravado is a scared, immature little child who can't function well in life. And although they come across as fearless, it's actually just a facade that they erect to get others to think that they have confidence where there is none. They carry intense shame that they cover up, and they look for targets who are insecure and easy to manipulate to give the appearance of courage. But the truth is they are riddled with fear, and that's why they try so hard to control and manipulate you. So my friend, what do you do? Well, number 1, the command can be summed up well in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Number 2, if the damage has already been done, I want to encourage you to get the healing you need and to trust God again. And not be so vulnerable to these people in the future. If you need counseling, I want you to be sure to check out our sponsor.
So that woman just listed the extreme narcissist. And I think if we're honest, some of us can agree that we've had some controlling spirit in us at one time. I know as a parent and with my young children, I was very controlling. And that's why to this day, many adult children resist their parents' influence, right? Because we were too controlling as parents in their young life. I admit it. I'm taking full responsibility for my controlling ways because of a childhood that was somewhat dysfunctional with an alcoholic parent. So I take full responsibility for that. And I observe my adult men, children, and their behavior resisting my wisdom and my suggestions. I observe it without judgment most of the time. And I realize that I have to allow them to work through their resistance, their resentment that I was so controlling. And that's what happens with a lot of mothers these days who are controlled. Now, if you have people in your life who demonstrate all 8 of these characteristics, manipulation, envy, coveting, confusion, bringing mental distraction, condemnation, criticism and more criticism, control, angry, bitter, deceiving, lying, all of you out there who continue to tell these lies to people, that's a spirit of demonic influence and pride, boastful, always boasting about what you're doing. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And then fear. That's a serious narcissistic energy on the spectrum. You've got some of us in the middle, some of us over here who rarely demonstrate these emotional tendencies. And then you've got those with all eight of those. That's some serious demon work there. Okay? It's not like a little red devil is going to come out and announce itself. You got it right there in the person in your life demonstrating that spirit. So if you have any comments or questions on Facebook, by all means, post your comments on Facebook and we'll try and answer them. Blog Talk Radio, you know the routine. Press 1 if you have a question or comment. And we're going to continue on with overcoming the demons on the path to spiritual maturity. We want to go inward now, more inward, to understand the pineal gland. The pineal gland plays a major role in helping us overcome demons. The pineal gland actually vibrates with a crystal element in it. So I want to play for you some information about your pineal gland, because we're going inward now. We've looked at and talked about the outward expression of demons, whether it's disembodied spirits or fallen angels or subconscious contracts or scapegoats or your shadow to play in your subconscious. But going inward, the pineal gland is really key. And I'm learning more and more about that, and I'm getting excited about it, because what that means is, you are such an amazing vessel of power and light and energy that you can overcome demons when you shift your pineal gland vibration into action. And how does that happen? Mostly through meditation, mostly through submission to responsibility of the role you have played in your life that demonstrated all these demonic activities. That's why we're going over a few of the beliefs about demons, what it means to us, what it means to others. And now if we go inward, we're going to connect for you the inner dynamics of this sacred vessel, which means a lot more to me than ever before, as I've learned more and more about this connection to my pineal gland and my gut, my microbiome, which we'll get into as well, the gut-brain connection. This is the pathway, the gut-brain connection. When you start feeding your gut the trillion microbes, the pineal gland gets activated in the journey to know yourself in this way. So let's listen a little bit about what the pineal gland
In
represents.
2002, Israeli researchers made an astounding discovery. They discovered that there's two types of crystals on and in the pineal gland, and that these crystals actually are tuners or resonators that, if stimulated by sound, these crystals have the piezoelectric effect. They release a positive charge. And this is quite amazing, because meditators or people who have ever had an experience where they see a flash of blue light, for example, have experienced the pineal gland under a positive charge, because we now know that the sound waves are converted by the pineal gland into blue light.
What do we feel when the pineal gland is activated? Or when we are entering expanded states?
We're just listening and letting our body become into coherence with that which we're listening to safely. We're not activating what's called the amygdala in the brain, which means fear. We now are safe and we're vibrating, right? And so we're not judging. We're not in that state of mind. We've completely transcended our default mode network. We would say we're inside the sound. If you have pictures of Emoto, it looked like that in your head. all these ripples are moving through the inner ocean inside of you. The pineal gland itself will become is like a tuning fork that just shakes like this, right? And it basically causes a spiral effect. That's what Raymond Moody, when he talks about death and dying, people move through this corridor drawn by sound. Basically, we're now able to ascend in octaves to different states of and different perceptions of reality.
But while we're still in this state of earthly existence, we each have a purpose and decisions to make.
We're all fated to walk this path in life, and the path is fated to land us at a fork. And when we arrive at this fork, I have to make a decision. Which fork am I going to make? And this one over here is the tugging of my heart and my soul is telling me, go that way, go that way. It's going to make the best use of you. The universe says yes to you. This way is the path of safety. Adults in my life are saying, grow up, get a job, work for safety, lay away some money on the side for your retirement. Most of us do that.
Others take the road less traveled
and enter into the universal hero's journey to find the meaning of my soul. And when I come to that fork, that's this right fork. I can't see how it's going to work, but it pulls me. This is when the synchronicity starts. It's the universe's job to step in and open the doors, turn the lights green, make everything serve to further. It becomes this flow. It becomes this synchronized, serendipitous adventure that you never know is going to happen.
Is there a way to tune ourselves into the cosmic blueprint so that we're more inclined to take the hero's journey?
The modern word for being in tune, for a person saying I'm in tune, or an athlete saying I'm in the zone, is neural coherence. Because our neuronal system, neurons, are vibrating, right? And so therefore, when we have coherence, they are vibrating together in unison.
So we are looking at an amazing vessel of light, energy, and purpose. And we've got Naima Latif, our executive producer, joining us from South Korea. I can't believe it. Are you really there, or is this a Hollywood stage performance?
This is Hollywood. I'm South Korea.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking at the presentation there. You know, Chairman Manny Lee, who is the founder of HWPL, who is sponsoring this Global Peace Summit. HWPL stands for Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Life. And he is currently pushing a peace education class, which helps students understand how everything is connected. And I was looking at the presentation there about how when we teach people that all of us are part of one system, one organism, we're all affecting the energy everywhere. Everybody is affecting everything, and everything is affecting everybody. Then we can be more conscious of the way we treat people, the way we treat nature, the way we treat ourselves. Because we are actually, the cells in our bodies are responding to our environment. And we, with our energy, are affecting our environment. So when we have a lot of anger, a lot of rage, a lot of negative energy, look at what happens with the weather. I mean, look at what happens, you know, to nature when we do things that are toxic, when our behavior is toxic. And so even with our own bodies, our thoughts, our attitudes are affecting our physiology. So a lot of these things that are pointed out in the peace education class that Chairman Manny Lee is seeking to make part of the curriculum in every nation's education system, it would help people understand that oneness and how our toxicity as a human family is making everything else toxic because of the way we think, the way we behave, the way we disregard all life, So I was seeing some definite correlations with what you presented and what you've always presented in terms of what really adds to or subtracts from our health and our not realizing that we are a spiritual system. This is spiritual energy that is affecting our well-being and the well-being of every other living organism. So that's a large part of the concept of HWPL. And you see a lot of times in the photographs, people are holding up one finger. It means we are one. It means we're talking about the oneness, the unity of all life, all creation, the interconnectedness of everything. And when we live in that consciousness, then the things we do, the kind of decisions that we make are in regards to how we're affecting everybody else and everything else. Because it's all connected, and we can't be toxic in our thoughts and our behaviors without it not only affecting our health, but then the health and well-being of everything in our environment. That's what that we are one symbol means. We're all one. We're from the one mind of the Creator, and we are cells in the body of God. So if we've got cancer cells among us, we need to heal them so that we're not spreading cancer.
Thank you so much, Naima, and I really do believe that your being there is going to make such a difference in not only their life but your life. We were talking earlier in our meeting how just taking that journey away from your Chicago area is such a blessing for you and for others to have you there among all these amazing people. So thank you for sharing that, and I know that we are thinking while you're there, you're going to just absorb like a sponge all the good for people to travel that far to come together. It's just so special and a divine appointment for every person there. And I'm going to, my next audio I'm going to play is about the invisible universe. When I think about how big our Earth is and the universe, to take a plane all the way to South Korea from Chicago, there is an invisible universe that I want to share with people that really does connect to how we are affected by the things inside of us. We want to understand now about this inner universe that we all have.
The next time you look in the mirror, think about this. In many ways, you're more microbe than human. There are 10 times more cells from microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, fungi, than human cells in and on our bodies. And our genes are outnumbered 100-1 by microbial genes. Scientists even have a name for all these microbial genes, the human microbiome. Now, this might make a lot of people rush for the hand sanitizer. But it turns out, most of these microorganisms aren't bad, germs that will make us sick. Most are good. And without these good microbes, our bodies don't seem to do as well. We don't seem to be as healthy, and we actually might get sick more often. So one question is, where do our microbiomes come from in the first place? Well, like a lot of things, it starts with our mothers. As the infant passes through the birth canal, it gets coated with microbes from the mom. These microbes may kind of seed the baby with just the right mix. Combined with bacteria in breast milk and other microbes we encounter early on, they seem to slowly take shape in our first few years of life. The overall mix of our microbes becomes very personal, sort of like a fingerprint or maybe a blood type. But our microbes tend to resemble those of our parents and siblings and may stay with us for much of our lives. They may also be doing all sorts of things, such as educating our immune cells, like this one, teaching them the difference between things they should fight off, bad bugs that might make us sick, and things that aren't a threat, like our good microbes. When we're adults, microbes become our first line of defense, fighting off germs that try to invade our bodies, protecting their turf while protecting our health. Scientists have discovered they can even spew out their own antibiotics. The types of microbes in your body vary depending on exactly where they live, like different ecosystems in nature. There are wet places like our mouths, noses, and armpits, oily places like our scalps and backs, and dry places like our forearms. Different species of microbes have adapted to each of these habitats. The biggest, most important microbial habitat seems to be in the gut. It's the most complex, the most diverse, and everything microbes are doing everywhere else in our bodies, fighting off infections, revving up and dampening down our immune systems, signaling cells, that's all happening in the gut in spades. They even seem to help regulate our metabolisms, how much energy we burn, and how much fat we store. So if it's not functioning properly for some reason, because of what we eat, antibiotics we take, that may actually lead to all kinds of diseases. Diseases like colon cancer, colitis, maybe even diabetes and obesity. Some scientists think one reason a lot of diseases are increasing is because we've lost key gut microbes. Our microbiomes look far less diverse compared to those of people in less developed countries and earlier generations. And remember how we get our microbiomes in the first place? From our mothers when we're born and from breast milk? Well, some scientists think that too many babies aren't getting that because of all the C-sections and not enough breastfeeding, plus all the antibiotics kids get these days and our obsession with cleanliness. All this may help explain why problems like asthma and allergies have been soaring. Maybe because our microbiomes never taught our immune systems how to work the right way. Maybe swallowing good microbes, probiotics, could prevent and treat some diseases. So could taking prebiotics, essentially food that good microbes love. We end our story with a reminder. This research is really new. We still have a lot to learn about what many of our microbes are really doing. But scientists say that it's getting clearer and clearer that the tiny organisms all over our bodies are essential to our health and happiness.
Got a caller, but Naima, I'm sorry, Naima, I had you on mute because the audio, let me unmute. We've got a caller, but did you have another comment?
Well, yeah, I love the graphics, and it really illustrates how just like everything in our system has a purpose, every human being has a purpose, and so we have to look at it that way. The things that we think that are unnecessary, we throw away certain kinds of people because we think that they're expendable. You know, you've talked about a lot of these plots to, you know, get rid of certain large parts of the population because you figure they're unessential. Well, just like parts of our body, parts of our system, everything is doing a function. Everything has a purpose. And if you get rid of something, you create an imbalance, you cause a problem, and the whole system eventually collapses. Same thing that what happens with humanity. Every person, every individual, every sector of society is important to the whole. And if you damage one part, then the rest of it will begin to malfunction. So I think that's a large part of the message here at this Global Peace Summit. We're now about to hear a press conference with Chairman Manji Lee, and we've got members of the press from all over the world here as we await his coming to basically give us the charge of changing the message. And we've talked about this in our meetings all the time, but the female solution, our responsibility as people with a voice and a platform is to change the thinking and to bring in that concept of oneness and that understanding that all of us are essential to the whole. We're all part of this vast universe and all of us matter. And so when our policies reflect that understanding, then we'll have a healthier environment. We'll have a healthy environment physically, mentally, emotionally, but above all, spiritually, because that's where everything starts.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all charged with pushing that message using our respective media platforms so that we can begin to change the thinking of the rest of the world.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. We're going to go to our caller because we want to hear from all of you. We heard from Naima all the way in South Korea, so we're blessed to be able to connect to her. You know, it just shows the oneness. Even though Naima is thousands of miles away over the ocean, we can still connect to her, which is the beauty of technology that we do have that works like this. So let's go to the phones. We're talking about overcoming the demons, overcoming the demons on the path to spiritual maturity. And we now are in, we're at the point of our discussion tonight where we're understanding the importance of the microbiome, the trillions of microbes inside of us that affect your relationships, they affect your sex life, they affect your mood, which means every person in our life for doing their best, in my opinion, to make sure that microbiome is healthy and strong. Because when your microbiome is weak, it's going to affect your mood, your brain, your pineal gland, and your relationships with other people. Because you're going to be triggered in ways that demonic energy surfaces from your subconscious because you don't have a strong army of microbes in your gut. That's the brain-gut connection that we're going to hear about even later that we all should be more aware of when we talk about demons. The demons are triggered and activated when you have a weak microbiome community in your gut. And how does that happen? You're feeding your body garbage. That's basically when you're putting garbage, processed foods in your body, your microbiome community becomes weaker and weaker as opposed to strengthening that microbiome community, which represents a unity, a universe that all of us can enjoy and participate in because the energy from your inner subconscious and human body will infiltrate all around you when you have a strong microbiome community. Let me go to the phone. Open up 26233. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Welcome and much love. Can I be heard, my dear Sister Z?
Yes, of course you can be heard. This is Brother Eddie, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Welcome, my brother.
Oh, much love and thank you for your hospitality. But, oh, my goodness, this is a great class this evening. And as I always try to reveal, the code being five is in everything that you were basically playing and that you are basically discussing right now. So let me stay with, I got five on it, starting with the five being the armor that you just said that we need. Armor is 14, which is a five. But getting to the topic that you were speaking on, dealing with the pituitary gland. Well, it starts from the rays coming directly from the sun. The rays, 14, which is a five, hits our third eye, which deals with the scientific term called your pituitary gland. Pituitary is 41, the five. The pituitary gland converts those rays of light into chemicals, which was also mentioned in one of the links you played. Chemicals are 32, which is the five. And it transfers the serotonin into the melanin that we get that enters the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland is 32, the five. That's being activated by the pituitary to the pineal gland. I'm sorry, pineal gland is 32. That's being activated by the pituitary gland, 41. that chemical exchange now brings about all these fives that we start to get. It crystallizes. Crystals are 32. It resonate is 32. We start getting into sound. Sounding is 32. That goes directly to our thought, 41. Connected to our brain, 14. That gives different octaves, octave 23. That gives us a true 23 being true, change 23 being 2 to our temple. 23. I'm sorry,
wow.
Being 5. I keep saying 2. Being 5.
Yeah.
Which is the code 14 dealing with the rituals. 32. Coming from the dance. 14. Giving us the defense, the true defense we need. That's why true is 23. Defense is 32. It's called love. Love is 14 to 5. That conquers all. All is number 5. So that's what's being mirrored. Mirror is 23 to 5 to everybody. Everybody is 32 to 5. But if we don't use our authority 41 from our thought 41, it becomes a disease 32 because it started from impure thought. So once we get it, we become the teacher that makes sense. If it don't make no sense, leave it alone. Teacher is 32, sense is 23. I'm not going to get into the vaccine and any of the negative fives because we give balance. That's why the coin has two sides. One side is Christ 32. And the other side is Lucifer 32. We just been lied to. That's why the coin comes to 2. And remember, it states, I don't know what verse, but I'm quite sure you have an idea of what I'm saying, that when 2 or more are in the spirit, that's the spirit of God. And this is the true church, because church is 2:29. The church is no more than what we're doing right now, being the 2 or more in the spirit. 2 comes to people. People are the church. People is 2:20. We are the true church. And with that being said, it's up to us to fix us, which is 83, the 2, which we're doing. All of this is helping us fix us because we're listening to one another now. We're disbanding the old rhetoric of what the educational system has always taught us. Years ago, what did we hear? Oh, we can't trust each other. Black people ain't never going to get together. It ain't never going to happen. We can't do that. We don't do that anymore. We don't hear that anymore because we now understand 32 being the teacher is what we are. This is our story. We're changing the paradigm. It's called a paradigm shift. We're the shifters of the paradigm, people. With that love being 14 to 5, I'm going to sit back and listen and learn. Love you.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point about the jab because as our speaker earlier, Teal Swan, mentioned, the demon can be both good and bad. And here's the good thing about the if that's a 5, then that's what destroys the microbiome. And we had a lot of people choose the jab, and they had to experience a destruction of their microbiome. Because when you destroy or weaken the gut, you're going to have sickness or even death. Because Mercer hits a person in the hospital when they're weak. Their microbiome, their immune system is so weak, they can't withstand any germs or any the germs that are floating in their gut are so powerful they can take them out of here. They can overtake the body and put them in a grave. So that's really important that you mentioned the jab. So to understand the good demon and the bad demon, that some people needed to take the jab, that demon of control, that demon of manipulation, that demon of fear.
Thank you.
That, so, consequence.
That's right quick. That's, I didn't want to go negative, but you know, you said so much that hit those negative or that balance dealing with the five, because the other side, that V, as you call it, the jab, we know what the V is five, you know,
yes.
And the V is also death.
Yes.
Death
yes.
is 23, which is five, but that five is 32, also called confusion.
Yes.
So this
absolutely.
Is purposely did to give confusion within what they're trying to do. We always say
right.
it's called depopulation. Depopulation
yes.
is 41. That's
yeah.
the depth of the confusion of this disease that they're pushing behind the code that's now being revealed. This is what we're doing, and it's beautiful, and again, but we see that main five is the culprit called the hospital. Hospital is 32 to 5. You go see your doctor. Doctor is 23 to 5. Or a practicing physician. Physician is 32 to 5. Even some of our, not all, nurses 23 to 5, are involved with all of this nonsense that is now being revealed.
Yes, yes.
We're
yes.
all saying the same thing. I'm just able to see all words that I use and others use by the number, and I relate this or reveal this because that's part of the five. That's part of who I am, five.
Yes.
I got five on
yes.
it. That's my part of Christ being a representative. Christ is 32. Jesus Christ still 59, which is a five, you know, that we all have. Whatever it is that we're doing, we're here to do, to set right, make sure that we do it and do it as best as we can where we know it's open to be received. So people can choose to use whatever they want to.
Yes, absolutely.
Whatever
Thank
they
you.
Want to.
Yes, absolutely. These are words that we need to hear in this season of deception and strong narcissistic energy that's surrounding us. We have an epidemic of egomaniacs who are trying to control and criticizing us and boasting. And our consistency has to be in building up our gut. We have to build up our instincts to know the decisions to make in the moment, time, instant time. We need to consistently be about building up this temple that has so much power in it when it's balanced with the pineal gland vibrating, with the pituitary gland activated, with the gut full and strong. We can no longer afford to have a weak gut, people. Because the fear that's coming and the confusion that's coming from the demonic forces of the government and any other person that demonstrates the witchcraft energy, we need to have a full, healthy gut that is fed consistently, not with processed food, not with junk food, but with healthy, fermented, fiber-rich food. So thank you so much, Brother Eddie, for bringing in that.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question real quick? Because you might be
yes.
able to help me with this.
Go ahead.
Since
Go
we're
ahead.
Talking about narcissism. Lucifer was also known as Lucifer Morningstar. Wasn't he narcissistic?
Lucifer, the morning. Well, you know, I guess if you look into the characteristics of Lucifer, on one level, he was bringing a challenge test for humans and the angels to demonstrate both sides of the coin, right? There are the fallen
yes.
angels, disembodied spirits, all of those things activated in the Al-Hahim, the Elohim community that is teaching all of us to recognize the difference between the narcissistic egos and the love, compassion, and wisdom, right? So you could call it
right.
what you want.
Well,
how do you interpret it?
I was looking at the story is what I've understood is that was the problem, that his narcissism or feeling that he was equal or just as good as God, as the Father. This is the reason that he was cast out of heaven and cast down, but he brought this information with him. as you're saying, because it's two sides to every story, or actually three sides, you know,
yeah.
One side, the other side, and the truth, you know.
Yeah.
So this is what we're doing now, and basically putting it all on the table, as we say, putting the pieces of the puzzle together so that we can see the whole, the totality of what it is that we're supposed to basically bring forth. You know, we
yeah.
all have a part.
Yeah. And if
so.
We all bring our understanding to the table, then maybe we can really come to a unified alignment with the universe and the creator's truth. Because our truth comes in from a minimal amount of time on planet Earth. But if we can come together
cool.
and overstand thousands of years of history coming together as the truth, then it only happens when we open up this for discussion. So let me go to Brother, I think Kwame Sunhorse is here. So Brother Kwame.
Good evening, Sister Viata. Good evening, Brother Eddie. And assalamu alaikum to my sister in Korea.
Hey.
Greetings, sir. And I want Naima to check in on, I want to know about the K-pop. They got J-pop and K-pop. They've copied hip-hop, so now they're doing K-pop and J-pop. But anyway,
okay.
Good topic. And the topic in itself is, you're talking about the micro, but what about the macro? Because we've got to understand that there's a greater outside, and this is what we're looking at. And the divine intelligence and being able to have this, that's the micro. I mean the macro. And it's the macrocosm. Just like we have the microcosm, we have the macrocosm. And what we're looking at is the cause of energy that works with size. But even when we look at all of that, and saying what you're sharing with the information of the microbiomes, you know, we're looking at the astrocytes, which is another level, because that astrocytes is given it's given the word in itself is it's because of your astral projection being able to reconnect cosmically. And so what we're looking at is we're building these environments that are infected with the artificial intelligence. Yes, we can use the techno-spiritual, but anytime you alter what is natural, you have nature reacts to it. And what we're doing is that we're fighting within ourselves. This is what we have allowed them to take us out of what was divinely natural and put us into an unnatural diet. And that word in itself, it says we used to take in nutrition. Now we're looking at how do we diet? How do we digest what's going to help us die? And the part that we're having to understand is nature has a wood wide web that has grown and provide the nutrition that has sustained this planet's life for thousands of years. I could say even millions, because we've been in existence. And the part about it is that each time the environment is altered and the herding of people and putting them into new positions of control, this is all it is. It's about being in – Ken Burns does a show, and he talks about – he said the two greatest events that happened on planet Earth was Christ and the United States of America. Christ and the United States of America. Because these are two things that have happened that has changed the whole planet almost. Because Christianity is all over the planet and everybody wants to come to America. And so the thing that we're looking at is that we have altered. Now we're connecting the world through the fiber that we began, this whole capitalistic society began with a fiber. They call it cotton, making the textile industry and doing that, because once they made the textile industry, all of the other people people that were basically indigenous use hides and different fibers to create their garments and their walking shoes. Now we've created artificial, we've created all of this use of cotton. And so even to the part where we talk about love of money, three-fourths of a pound of cotton, 25% linen, makes the dollar bill. So we're still dealing with fiber. We're talking about we have to have fiber in our diet to have a good bowel movement, and we have to clean our colon by taking in fiber. It's that the neural net in our bodies is fiber optic, basically, because all your nervous system is just transmitting and receiving frequencies from the head to the toe. And it receives because the skin is your biggest organ, and your fibers is your hair, your antennas on your skin, on your head. And so how is the transmission and receiving from the macrocosm? Because we're in this Milky Way galaxy where we have not been in 25,920 years. The level of frequencies that we are being transmitted and being able to give for our new part of our evolution is being interfered with an artificial frequency. And so you're looking at each time that we change the frequency of our environment, we have an attack on the human being. When we change the frequency of our environment, we have an attack on the human being. Because the natural nature's 432 frequency is the natural frequency. And when we put a person in 5G and you put a 5G bandwidth and you put all of this interference, you're messing with the neural net in the brain and the body and the gut. Because even when you put in the microbiomes, when you're standing there in front of a television or you got your cell phone on your stomach or you got a laptop in your lap, guess what? You are interfering with your microbiomes because they are frequencies. So we got to look at how we utilize what technology is and what is the natural divine energy is. And so it's that we're out of balance and we are out of order. Nature has an order. The cosmos has an order. The universe has an order. Human beings are out of order.
And thank you so much for that, Brother Kwame. He's coming off from building Sweat Lodge and having
I'm on my way. I'm leaving Tuesday. I'm leaving out Tuesday. And Brother Eddie was saying, I'm going to dig crystal. I'm going and get the transmitters and receivers that have been in the earth for thousands of years. They're now being unearthed, and we're able to be presented by them gifting us their presence and for us to use for the use of their energy to help us to transmit and receive and triangulate energy. We're going there, and then I'm going to build another sweat lodge because I did a sweat lodge Friday for the new moon, and then I'll go there Tuesday, and we're going to build one, and we're going to have the fall equinox is when we're going to do the sweat, and then we'll go and dig, and then we're going to get the water that comes out of the earth, 1.5 million gallons every day at 143 degrees of pure silica water.
Wow, that's powerful. Well, I want to play one more audio for our audience about sex, how your cravings and more, because many of us are, if we still have a sex life, we don't even think about how the microbiome has an effect on that. So this book, woman, and your cravings, your food cravings, it's all connected. And this is just a little piece. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but a little piece from a woman who wrote a book about how she's still hungry.
Have you ever wondered why we crave what we crave? Well, today I have got a special treat for you. I'm here with Dr. Amy Shaw, who is a nutritionist and double board certified physician who recently wrote a book that's out for pre-order right now. It's called I'm So Effing Hungry, Why We Crave What We Crave and What We Can Do About It. Thanks so much for coming on, Dr. Shaw.
This is so great. Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be a real treat. And you, I asked you guys in our community what you wanted to learn about. So we took these questions from what you guys wanted to know. So please make sure that if something wasn't answered or you want a part two, make sure you comment down below and let us know. So let's get into it. So let's start off. What exactly is gut health and how can it improve our sex life, meaning our hormones, our testosterone, and other things that help optimize our overall health and our sex life?
Testosterone and gut health are so intimately entwined so that they've seen studies where the testosterone level actually correlates with the quality of your gut health. In a recent study, they found that there are certain bacteria like Firmicutes that are elevated in people who have higher levels of testosterone. This was done in older men, and they found that it really correlated with the quality of testosterone because the gut bacteria actually metabolize and recirculate testosterone into the system. And so we can improve our testosterone levels by actually improving gut health. So some of the reason that you get a boost in your mood and your energy levels with improved gut health is because the improvement of your hormones.
So how can we improve our gut health? And I know you have like a whole five-step system in your book, but tell us a little bit about how we can improve our gut health so we can get those benefits.
I was so shocked, Rena, when I wrote I'm So Effing Hungry, I was so shocked that how we feel on a daily basis, what we crave, our energy levels, is coming from our gut. There's this gut-brain connection that's making us happy, crave, satisfied, coming from this internal environment that's in our colon, mostly lower colon. And there are ways that we can actually improve it. So we know now that if you transplant the gut bacteria from one person to another, you can completely change their mood. They can go from depressed to not depressed. They can go from anxious to not anxious. They can even go from non-schizophrenic to schizophrenic. I mean, it's insane that there's no change in the brain chemistry, but just by transferring the gut bacteria, you can change that much of your brain state. So one of the craziest things we learned is that it only takes 3 days of a changed diet, a radically different diet, to actually change the gut microbiome. So in a 2014 landmark study, they actually looked at people and they said, okay, let's just rapidly change their diet into a very, very healthy diet and see how long it takes for us to see a difference in the gut microbiome and diversity and levels of good gut bacteria. They were expecting about 2 to 3 weeks, but within 3 days, they could see a marked change, and that improved over the next 2 weeks. And it was a crossover trial. So then they switched them back to an ultra-processed, unhealthy diet, and they thought it reverted back. So it's really easy for us. I feel like it's something that we should all be talking about more, to improve our gut microbiome so we can have better testosterone levels, better hormone levels in general, better mood, more control of our cravings, higher levels of dopamine and serotonin, which are our happiness hormones.
That is so fascinating. So just 3 days, that's amazing. And, you know, you touched on this a little bit, but, you know, how it can affect our mood. But also, I understand, I saw actually one of your Instagram posts about how...
So I just wanted to play that little bit, that more and more doctors and health professionals are teaching and sharing this message of supporting the gut, the microbiome, your colon. More and more I see that on YouTube. In fact, I'm following a cardiologist here in Orlando on YouTube who's been practicing for 35 years as a cardiologist, doing heart surgeries, doing all. He loves to teach because on YouTube you'll find him teaching for hour and a half. And his name is Pradeep. He's Indian, Pradeep Jamnadas, J-A-M-N-A-D-A-S. So much knowledge coming from this guy. And those are the type of people I love to follow on YouTube. 35 years as a cardiologist. And his first and second most important information he teaches is fasting, number one, fasting and gut microbiome health. So So I want to just pass that on to anyone who is struggling with cravings, with your health in any shape or form. If you can bring yourself, as the woman just suggested, to do at least 3 days, 3 days of a radical change to a gut-feeding diet, a gut-feeding, nurturing lifestyle, and that means fasting too. So you might want to build up to the fast, but 3 days of fasting with an introduction, maybe with juices and light eating salads or some changing, getting rid of all the grains in your diet, all the processed food. Can you do 3 days? Ask yourself, can you do 3 days, or can you end up in a doctor's office with problems that might put you in a hospital? And who knows what comes after that? Mama AZ, I believe, had one more comment I want to make. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for Brother Kwame right quick before I say what I need to say. What day was that sweat? Because it was pretty powerful. I think it was Friday. Brother Kwame?
Yeah, is my mic still open?
Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was Friday was the new moon, and this is the moon that we're in now. This is the third day, and we'll be in the Virgo moon, and it'll be full by the 30th of this month. We're going to have that. So that's the energy that we seeded in ceremony and being able to seed with that moon's energy to bring to light that which each person prayed and asked for.
Okay, the reason that I asked that, family, is because that's the 15th. That's a six. If you just add that day, and today is a six if you add up all of the digits for today. I need to make a note that that is also one of Reverend A.A. Allen's numbers. And the reason that I'm saying this is because in a dream years ago, he asked me to ask someone to do a sweat on that land at Miracle Valley because a portal has been opened up. And I got that information conclusively from Brother Kwame. It was in a dream, but Brother Kwame came along and confirmed it. And I'll make this quick. We must keep our gut activated, the microbiomes. But however, when we sweat people, I was told to relay to you that we also must go into the sweat lodge. Not everybody can do that, but for 50 years almost, the tall ones, meaning the ancestors, the tall ones have told me this. And I felt that energy of that sweat that Brother Kwame did in Georgia. I felt that energy because after that sweat, I need to share this with you, Brother Kwame, the energy opened up some additional layers from my third eye. And it just happened when you called that I was in a reasoning with another medicine person. And that, like today, Pastor Nix reached out to me. And I'm hoping that when the time comes, I'm putting it out there, that someone, you, Brother Kwame, will be able to come to Miracle Valley, Arizona, and do a sweat for everybody. And Reverend Allen was a staunch person when it came to fasting. I've had listened to a million of his information, his tapes and videos, and the man is phenomenal. And he also comes from Sulphur Springs, Arkansas. And isn't that where you're going or someplace near there to get those crystals, Brother Kwame?
We're going to what's called Hot Springs, and that's the area in which for thousands of years water has been coming up out of the earth at 143 degrees. There's lakes. There's about six or seven lakes out there that are from that underground ocean because that's the only thing that can provide that much water from inner earth to come to the earth at that temperature. So it's very important that, you know, that land was sacred, and that's what generates the silica, is what generates the largest crystal bed on the planet, is there in Hot Springs. It's over 140 miles that goes from east to west under the earth, and about 40 to 70 miles going north to south. And so this is a very, they call it Arklantis. And the Atlantean seeded the Emerald Crystal in Mount Magazine there, right there near Fort Smith, before you get to Oklahoma. So it's a very sacred place, and it's also right on the Madrid Fault Line there in Missouri. So the energies that we're getting that comes from going to that sacred land and being gifted the crystals, because crystals is what all of this technology is being formed from. Crystals is the main source, along with other minerals, that creates the battery, but the being able to create the fiber and the transmission, the frequency, is what has been able, man, to been able to take the crystals and make the form of communication from radios to television to now this fiber optic network that we call the World Wide Web. It's all formulated from minerals from the earth. And this is why it's so important on how we use this technology and use these sources from the earth. But the thing that I wanted to say with you, Mama AZ, because you're going there to A.A. Allen space and you always saying there's a portal open. But the thing that happens when you open a portal, you're supposed to close it. When you open a portal, because all sorts of things come through that portal from the other dimension, they have a way into the planet.
That's right. That's right. And what I was told, thank us, Brother Kwame, what I was told, that there has to be someone of medicine to do sweats, and do the ceremonies for that closing, because it's next to the border. There's all kinds of drugs and human trafficking and murders and this, that, and the other. And the area that I'm talking about, people, is like Fort Knox, or is Buffalo Soldier Country, is Cochise County. And look it up on the map. And I had no idea of the major reason that I was brought here, through dreams and investigation and research. And Friday, when Brother Kwame had that sweat, it is so much that I can't even express that has come through. And Brother Kwame, I want to really appreciate you following your spirit to do to be a hollow reed, a vessel for the healing of the people, because not just Cochise County, all over the planet, but because I was born here in Maricopa County, I as close to the land as I am in Cochise, I get a lot of downloads, and it gets kind of weary sometimes, but I give thanks for all of my Blog Talk, Medicine, Galactic Families, because it helps to keep me grounded. And we must find a way, family, to get to sweat lodges and eat the right foods, because we are in another zone now. We can't continue as Christians, you know, can't continue with the same old okey-doke. This is a new paradigm. And
yeah.
I'll be quiet. Thank us.
Yeah,
I'll listen.
Amen. I want to say absolutely what Mama AZ is saying about a new paradigm. We can't continue in these religious minds thinking the Bible is literal and that everybody is supposed to be in prayer and amen. All, it's a new paradigm. Be open-minded to hear and understand what the Spirit is saying to us in this new day. I'm going to give Naima, if she can. Oh, you can't talk right now. Okay. Yeah, we've got Naima, but I know I hear the background. So, hi. Naima's here. Let me read a few comments from our listeners. Zelda, our Monday Morning Mindful host, is here, and she's surprised that Naima's at HWPL already. Yeah, she's been there all day, I think. But, yes, thank you, Zelda, for chiming in. And Francis Harris is in our Facebook studio or listening. I haven't made it home yet, but thought I'd at least catch the last. Well, thank you for chiming in, Francis. And tomorrow, Zelda will be broadcasting for Naima live from Seoul, Korea with Naima to introduce us to several different cultures. Tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness from 7 to 9 a.m. Central on our Blog Talk Radio, and watch Higher Learning TV show to see Zelda's beautiful face and Naima's beautiful face tomorrow morning. That's going to be a real treat. So everybody, please keep in mind, as we're reminding you today, to get your gut health going. And that means changing, putting in your mouth, and fasting. Those are the two. I'm going to go with the doctor's statement. The two most important things to get rid of demons, let's say get rid of your demons, is to fast and to bring your microbiome community up to better, to more strength. And that means stop eating all that processed junk. It's not even food. I don't even call it food. It's chemicals, a bunch of chemicals. And that's going to help you survive the coming propaganda and fear camp that is already upon us. So thank you, Mama AZ, and Brother Kwame and Brother Eddie, for chiming in and sharing with our audience your wisdom and your experience and your journey. This is all about sharing your journey and your experience so that we can come to be one in love and appreciation for why we're here, reminding us of our purpose. Our purpose is unity, harmony, just like the symphony that's being played on the inside of this human body. If we can all just come together in unity and harmony, we can play the same symphony with very few conflicts and arguing and debate. So everybody, have a great week. It's a new moon shining its light brighter and brighter and brighter. And that means we are being blessed with more light, more energy from that planet and from all the planets. So everybody, thank you again. And we're going to say goodbye to our global family right now. Closing. All right. Take care.
To the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jerez. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Have a good day. I guess it's daytime there. Good day. Good night. All right. See you in the morning at night. All right. That's bye. And all to all my yogi friends out there, Satnam, namaste. And, of course, aloha. To all you beautiful Hawaiians, stand strong, and get rid of the corruption. Our prayers and our love are with you always. Mwah. Shalom.